Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Black Womaniverse. This is your host, Goddess Tara, also affectionately known as Seek Wisdom. Tonight's segment will be about taking time out for me. And what I mean by that is taking time out for yourself. It is very important that we as Black women take time out for ourselves, because a lot of times we are running around, we're so busy, we're doing things for our friends, our family, our children, our husbands, our mates, or what have you, but we don't too often take time out for ourselves, and we need to do that. So before I get into anything further, sit back. I'm going to play some music. We can relax and get ready for the show. I will be right back.
Around my
family, all right, sisters, since it's mainly sisters that listen to my show. I know some brothers listen to the show, but this show is mainly for sisters, and brothers, you're more than welcome to listen, but the Black Woman Verse is mainly for the sisters. Anyway, fam, I've been away for a minute, haven't really done any shows. It's really not like me to do shows on, you know, in the middle of the week, but, you know, Spirit led me to do so, so here I am. The show is scheduled for an hour and a half. I have no clue how long the show is going to be because, like I said, I just went off Spirit and scheduled the show yesterday because it was just some things on my mind, some different things that have been going on in my life, and I just wanted to share it with the sisters. Most of the time when there are shows here on the Womaniverse, I am interviewing other people. We've had some amazing guests on, and we will continue to bring amazing guests to bring information out about Goddess, the original Goddess, the Black woman. I will definitely continue to do that, but in addition to doing that, I'm being led to speak out a little bit more about, you know, different things from my point of view as I see them. Because a lot of times as radio show hosts, we interview people, but we don't necessarily, well, I know I don't, get on the air and kind of sort of just speak about different things as I see them. So the shows that will be in the middle of the week, primarily on Tuesday or Wednesday, and I will schedule them as I feel. If I don't feel like talking one week, then there won't be a show. But if I feel like talking, there will be a show. So, like I said, these shows in the middle of the week will be based on how I feel. But it'll pretty much primarily consist of me and or other sisters, you know, just speaking about different things that can help build up the Black Goddess, the African woman. Wow. There's a lot of things that have been going on lately. As some of you know, I was in school, and I also co-host another radio show called The Order of Ma'at. And that radio show is for, you know, the African community, both brothers and sisters. So I was co-hosting two shows, going to school, going to work, trying to do some things for family, and not doing much of anything for myself. So I just finished school, and on October 27th, yay me, it was a struggle to finish it. I went to cosmetology school, and the funny thing I find when I say I go to when people ask me what school are you going to, what degree are you going to get, and you say you're going to cosmetology school, it's almost like they look at you like, oh, that's what you're going to school for. And I find it funny because most people think that's, you know, some people think that is supposed to bother me because that's how they feel about it. And I hate to consider people ignorant, but, and I'm not even going to use that word, but it's a lot of people don't know what cosmetology entails. We as Black people know that our hair acts as antennas. And, of course, when you're dealing with cosmetology, you're dealing with people's crown chakra. And I am also a healer. So it is not out of my realm to be dealing with cosmetology because I'm a healer. So that is one of the things, one of the ways that I can heal people, especially Black women. A Black woman feels good when she looks good. Because that inward feeling good is expressed in an outward appearance, you know, most of the time. So, you know, she's going to, you know, do things to make herself, you know, feel pretty. So, anyway, cosmetology has a lot of scientific background. You deal with chemistry, anatomy, biology. You have to know a lot about the body in order to be able to do cosmetology. And when you're a cosmetologist, it's not just doing hair. You're not just a hairstylist. It deals with the skin care. It deals with different things that may be going on with the body that you can tell by looking at someone's scalp and looking at their hair. And as a cosmetologist, I find that when women sit down in my chair, they let go of everything and they're willing to talk about anything, whatever's on their mind, how they're feeling that day. So you're kind of sort of also in the function as a counselor as well. you know, and sometimes people just want to talk. They don't want any advice. They just want to talk, and they want somebody to listen. So I pride myself in that being, you know, one of the things that I do, as well as studying herbs and aromatherapy and massage therapy and things of that nature. So anyway, enough of that. I really didn't want to go on in that tangent about cosmetology, but there it is. There are a lot of things that I, in this almost 2 months that I haven't been doing the Black Womaniverse shows, there's a lot of things that have come to my attention that I've been thinking about, and I guess I'll touch on one of them tonight, obviously, which is the title of the show, Time Out for Me. Before I get into that, though, there's some other information I want to share. The Black Womaniverse has a new website. Our website is www.blackwomaniverse.webs.com, and I'll spell that out. Black, B-L-A-C-K, Womaniverse, W-O-M-B-N-I-V-E-R-S-E, dot webs, W-E-B-S, dot com. On that website, you will find links to, you will find a lot of information. You will find out the Black Womaniverse's mission, our history. You'll be able to donate if you want to donate to what I am and what we are as sisters attempting to do together. You will see a calendar there as to what guests are coming up for the show, what's going on. You will see links in the link section. There's a link for Divine Chemistry, which is the sponsor of Black Womaniverse, and that is a website of mine, of course. I'm sponsoring this program. But this website will offer a litany of things from natural raw products like shea butters, cocoa butters, anything you can, not just body butters, but carrier oils, therapeutic aromatherapy, essential oils, sea salts, body scrubs, soaps, you name it, it'll have it. In addition to the natural body and hair care products, there will be holistic wellness products as well as metaphysical products. So I have just put a banner up on the website. I haven't finished building the website, but I do want to let everyone know that it is there. So, you know, go back, take a look, look at my logo, let me know what you think. And that website is Divine, D-I-V-I-N-E, Chemistry, K-H-E-M-E-S-T-R-Y, .com. And, of course, we've had a number of guests on the show. So you have, hey, Queenie Farmer, I see you. Thank you for stopping by to listen. You know you can call in, sis. You know I always like talking to you. You know we get on the phone and we talk for hours. So, you know, you can call on in, 646-716-7675, if you, want to call in on the phone line. But I definitely appreciate you and the support you always give me, the conversations, and you stopping by to listen. Because I didn't expect anybody to stop by to listen tonight because I'm just, you know, going with the flow and going with spirit. I just had some things I wanted to, you know, discuss, and so that's what I'm doing. Anyway, back to the website. All the different guests we've had on, we've had Sister Latava on. She has a website for the Black Women's Agenda. We've had Lady Phoenix. She has a website, which is Eternal Queen. I'm not going to go through all of the different guests that we've had on the show and the different sisters that we've had on the show, but if you go to blackwomaniverse.webs.com and click in the link section, you will see the link there. And since I spoke of Queenie Farmer, Queenie Farmer has a lovely website where she sells her custom handmade jewelry. Right now, I am wearing two of the sister pieces. I have on a Jinyame necklace. It is red and gold. It is beautiful. And it's made with love, so I'm definitely wearing that with pride. I also have on some lovely wood crescent. They're gold earrings. They are so pretty. I mean, if you just want to have something that's original, something handmade, and something that identifies and captures the essence and the beauty of our African culture, then you must check out Queenie Fama's website. Her website is www.ifama, and you spell that ifama.com. So, you know, go to her website, check out her jewelry, you know, buy some stuff. You know, we sisters have to support each other, so, you know, it's real good that we do that. All right. Anyway, the website, got that out the way. You can also find me on Facebook. If you just pull up Seek Wisdom or either Black Womaniverse, you will find me. Let's see what else I have here. I have to write a list down so I wouldn't forget everything because it's a lot of things I wanted to get out before we get to the topic, I guess, or before I get to the topic. Upcoming guests. On Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, we will have Diva Mama Nut Temu Ankh Butterfly. This sister has two or three websites out there, but the main thing she's coming on this show to speak about, although we will touch on everything that she is working with, you know, the main thing she is coming on to speak about is African Orgasmic Alchemic. African Orgasmic Alchemy Healing. That was a tongue twister right there, but pretty much she's pretty much going to talk about the sacredness of sex and how that's used for healing purposes. That's not going to be the entire scope of our conversation, but she will touch on that. And if anyone wants to pull her up, you can Google her. You can pull her up on YouTube. I think it's a couple of videos that she has on YouTube, maybe. I think I only saw one or two, but she will be here Sunday, this Sunday, upcoming Sunday at 2 p.m. So, let's see. All right, I'm going to go ahead and get into the topic. Oh, there go Queen Ifama. Let me open up her line before I get into the topic. What's up, Queen Ifama?
Peace, Goddess Tara. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
I am well. Just just a little tired today. But outside of that, I'm doing really well. I just want to thank you for the plug to my website. And, you know, you didn't do justice to your own because, you know, I'm a fan of your body butter. And all your creams and stuff that I'm using over here where I am, you know, soft as a baby's ass, I must say.
That's what's up.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, her products are just a bomb, guys. I'm telling you. I mean, and they are made with love. I can feel it every time I smooth that body butter on my body. I said, this sister really put herself into this. So, you know, I'm just happy to hear you tonight. And, you know, I'm just going to lay back and, you know, chill out. I'm working on my website. I'm going to try to be working on my website while you're, doing. If you want me to say something, just let me know. But, you know, I'm going to be working on, I'm trying to work on my website anyway.
Yeah, I know how that is.
Yeah, because I haven't been real, real active, but I've been making some really nice pieces lately. And it's just, you know, the whole thing is taking the pictures of them, then getting the pictures up. I mean, it's just a whole lot that goes in, especially when you don't have people, you know, you can't afford to pay people, right?
Right. It's a lot that go, you know, until I started to build my own website and everything,
right.
I really did not know how much it took. I mean, you can easily just get a basic website and throw it together, but people can tell when they come to look at your website whether you took time to put things together. So it's very important that you take time, being that you take, you know, that you take time to invest time in the website since you took time to make your product.
You want people to, you know, see your presentations and
try
to get a feel. And I'm going to tell you, taking pictures of jewelry is very difficult. It's not like, you know, just snapping a picture. I mean, the lighting has to be right. I've had to literally build structures so that I could be able to take a decent picture.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, and still haven't gotten it down pat. So, you know, it's a process. I've been doing it since 97. And I've learned, you know, I've been learning every day, you know, because people, and I'm going to tell you something else, Goddess Tara, people do not want to help you either. You know, they really don't want to give you, you know, the assistance that they could, particularly those who are very, very astute in web building and all that kind of. I mean, I've had difficulty. You may not have had it, but I've had difficulty because I don't have money. You know what I'm saying, Pam? So, you know, I've had to literally learn myself. You know, I've literally learned myself, and that's been an experience, and I'm glad that it happened like that. So, you know, hey.
I mean, right now, a lot of people are being forced to learn things themselves because, you know, the resources aren't necessarily there, and I think that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, me too, me too.
It may not feel like it at first.
Right, it doesn't. It doesn't feel like it at first. But in the final analysis, I think that when you – you know, you can look at your. I can look at my website and say, "Wow, I did that."
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm kind of proud. You know that I had to go through that learning curve. You know. But anyway, guys, I'm just gonna let you get on with the program, and I'm gonna stay right here and listen, and try to work on, you know, work on these pictures I got to put up here and.
Well,
our new arrivals. It's under new arrivals.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, do
okay.
you want me to mute your line out, or do you want to just stay on
the line?
Yeah,
you can mute it out, girl, because I'm going to be smacking on gum and everything else.
Oh,
so.
My God. Well, you know, right now it's just me and you, but I'm pretty sure, you know, quite a few people are downloaded, and, I hope they appreciate, you know, me taking my time out to, you know, talk about some things that's on my mind. This is just me talking about what's on my mind, of course. So I'm hoping, you know, what I speak on will help some people. So I'm going to mute you. Press 1 again, though, so your hand will go down.
Okay. Okay.
And if
okay.
you want to say anything else, just press 1 again, and I'll know. All right. So I've muted you out, Queen, but I'll be right back to you. I'm just going to, you know, try to, you know, get started and try to get some of these off my chest, I guess. All right. So the topic for tonight, time out for me. I felt myself, prior to me finishing school, just feeling like I had so much to do and not enough time, that 24 hours was just not enough in a day for me to get anything done. I was stressing myself out. You know, I'm always trying to do stuff for other people, but not really giving myself enough time to just sit back, relax, chill, be quiet, and not have my mind running a mile a minute. And so, you know, I promised myself, you know, you've been going through a lot, you're doing a lot, you know, you just moved recently. You know, as I said, I'm a cosmetologist, so, you know, part of the move I made was because I'm now in a bigger house, and I'm opening up my own salon. So I have a lot on my plate, but it's a good, these things are good, so I'm not, you know, complaining about that by a long shot. But in trying to get all of that done, I just was not giving myself enough time to sleep, to rest, to just refresh, relax, and, you know, replenish myself. Wasn't doing that. So I promised myself when I finished school that I wouldn't host any radio shows for a while. I wouldn't, you know, I would cut back on, you know, my clients just 2 or 3 days a week as far as taking appointments from my clients and, you know, doing different healing sessions because I really needed to dedicate some time to myself. And at first, I felt bad about having to do that. And in the midst of feeling bad, I sat back and I was like, why am I so eager to give everyone else my time, but I don't feel like I'm worthy of relaxing myself? So I had to question it. And I was like, you know, I need a rest, and I need to make myself get a rest, and I deserve that. I've been through a lot. I'm doing a lot. I just accomplished, you know, moving. I'm trying to, you know, I'm opening up, you know, a salon. You know, I just finished school. I have a lot going on, so I really need to rest, or I'm not going to have enough energy to do any of this, and it's all going to be for nothing. So in my resting time, I'm going to call it my relaxation time, like I said, a lot of things hit me. And in terms of the time out for me, I'm just going to, you know, go through some things that came to mind. Of course, I had to write them down because I would have forgotten possibly. So the first thing that came to mind was stop feeling as though there's just not enough time for everything you have to do. that came up when I heard somebody use this analogy. Life is like a buffet. If you treat your time and your life like it is a buffet, you know that there's a whole lot of different foods you can eat, just like there's a different whole lot of different things you can do or need to do. But only put a little bit on your plate because you can go only put a little bit on your plate right now because you can always go back and get more later. So when I heard that, I had to say, I'm going to put only on my plate right now what I can handle or what I need to do right now, and I'll go back and get to the rest of it later. Because there's no point in trying to feel like I'm rushing around every day. I'm always rushing around doing stuff, and I'm not relaxing. You know, to me, from my point of view, life isn't about rushing around and trying to have every minute of every second of every hour that you're awake during the day absorbed in doing something. Sometimes you just need to sit still. And in that stillness, you can get a lot of information and a lot of revelations, you know, for you mainly. And you're able to relax, you know. So that was the biggest thing. The other thing was, while you're still, you need to realize that you need to stop and celebrate you and your divinity. What do I mean by that when I say celebrate you and your divinity? It is my feeling that we are and you are an essence of the Creator or the Divine having a human experience. And with that being said, I need to embrace that, and I have embraced that, and everyone else needs to embrace that. And while I was thinking that, I said, you know, we need to treat ourselves as though we are a part of the Creator. And how would you talk to the Creator? If you're a part of the Creator, how would you talk to the Creator and how would you treat the Creator? You wouldn't be bombarding, you know what I'm saying? You would not be bombarding yourself if you knew that you were essence of the Creator with so much stuff to do and beating yourself up because you can't get to it all. You know, so we need to take time out, stop and celebrate our divinity, and understand that we are an essence of the divine having a human experience and embrace that. We need to fully embrace who and what we are and walk in that divine light. That's a whole lot right there. You know, some people have this concept that the Creator is something that you pray to and ask for things and you just get granted something. When, from my point of view, and again, this show that I'm doing right now, I'm just speaking from my point of view. I'm not going to beat anyone over the head to force them to believe what my point of view is, because then that would be considered religion, and that's not what I'm here for. Sad note. Religion beats people over the head to say you have to believe this. End of side note. Anyway, sorry for that, but again, that's one of my opinions. Who and what we are and walking that divine light. I don't even think that needs any further explanation at all. The other thing that I notice when people are doing, you know, self-reflection or having growth, they feel the need to, like I was saying earlier, either pray to something and ask for something. If it's not that, some people feel the need to call up a psychic or call someone and get a reading. Now, I know I'm touching on, you know, sensitive waters here, but I'm going to do it anyway. Well, I'm just going to say it. If it rubs somebody the wrong way, you know, it is what it is, but this is my opinion. And I'm saying this as a person who has participated in several, in at least three or four different initiations. I'm not going to get into which ones and where. I'm not going to go there because there's no need for that. But what I will say is you don't need to necessarily depend on every move you make and every change you make in your life to depend on a reading from somebody else. Once you understand that you are essence of the Creator or essence of the divine having a human experience, you can access your own intuition and trust that. You know that voice inside of you that says, you know, don't do this or I think you should do that. That's your higher self. That's that God state in you, that God or Goddess state in you, telling you what's good for you or what's not good for you. If you listen to that, that is your divination reading or your psychic reading right there. In most cases, when we screw something up or when we fuck something up, it's because we didn't listen to ourselves. How many times have you done something and go, damn it, I knew I should have done it. I told myself not to do that, and I did it anyway. I used to do it all the time. I still do it from time to time, but I'm trusting myself, my higher self, my spirit, to guide me to do things. And every time, ever since I started trusting my intuition more, I have yet to be right. I mean, I've yet to be right. I've yet to be wrong. And that feels good. Now, the whole reason I brought up readings and initiations and things is because, and again, this is a touchy subject, but oh well. I find that spirituality, for some reason, some people are starting to use it as a way to pay their bills, so to speak. And the gifts that we have that are natural within us and innate in us, it, in my opinion, should be used to help uplift our community, not make a quick buck off of people in the community. For example, I do readings. I know sisters who use tarot cards, sisters who do divination readings, but you're supposed to, in my opinion, do those for people when you are led to do them for people, not because they're paying you to do something for them. Because that person who's paying you to do something for them is perfectly capable of teaching you how to listen to your own intuition so that you don't have to pay them for anything. You can do it yourself. But instead of teaching you how to listen to your inner tuition, your intuition, they rather you pay them to help them pay their bills. Now, I'm not saying not to support people in our community that are oracles and that are spiritual people. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the time and space that we're in now, you need to learn how to access your intuition to guide the decisions you make and the people that you deal with on your own. Because if we are starting to lean too much on other people telling us what to do and when, then when those people aren't around, what are you going to do? Queen of Fama, I see your hand raised. How may I be of service?
Listen, you know, you have definitely hit on a topic that is near and dear to my heart, and that is the exploitation of our people who are always looking outside of themselves for the answer. And what clues me in, and I want everybody to listen to this, and this is a clue that lets you know that you're dealing with a shyster. When they say to you that spirits need money, or that God needs money, beware. Okay? That you know, the preachers do it, all these ma'ams and she ma'ams and whatever ma'ams, you know, they do stuff like that and say that, well, you know, you got to feed the spirits. Well, spirits don't eat. Okay? Spirits don't eat food. That's why it's a spirit. Okay? God don't need money. That's why it's God. Okay? So, I mean, in the esoterical sense, all right? So I just want everybody to know, no, that's a shyster. Now, like Sister Tara, you said, there is nothing wrong with supporting our spiritual people in our community, but those should be love gifts, okay?
Right.
They shouldn't be requirements for someone to receive assistance, even though, as you stated, they should be guided in how to access that energy themselves because it comes from out of them. Okay,
if you want to pay for something, pay for somebody to teach you how to meditate or how to use your intuition, because those are things that you will need when that person is not available.
Exactly, exactly, absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, the key for me is whenever I hear this is that the spirits need money or God needs money, then I know that I'm dealing with a shyster, okay, someone who is not, who is exploiting me when I'm coming to them for help. So that's why I just wanted to put that out there. That is a, that is something that I use so that I'm always aware. I mean, I've been watching it since the church, okay? And I knew way back when that God, even the God that they say is up in the sky, why would God need money? You know what I'm saying?
If God, if you want to get blessed, you got to give something to receive something. You come on up on this altar and drop that $20 bill because God's going to bless you, honey.
Exactly.
God's going to bless you. He's going to pour you out a bigger blessing than you could ever, you know, your cup running over. Oh, shut that bullshit up.
I know. And it's crazy. It's crazy, Sister Tyra. It's that what happens is that people give money and then believe that something is going to happen. Not only that, that it seems to me that...
Hold on, let me stop you there, though. Let me stop you
okay.
there. This is the kicker. People give money and then believe. Stop right there.
Okay.
Stop right there. They believe. They believe, which means all they had to do was tell their self what they want
okay.
and focus on it.
Exactly.
You didn't have to give somebody your money to get it.
Okay, exactly. Exactly. And see... Everything, you know, and this is another thing. You know, people always say, well, you know, that was this happened and it was the work of the creator. It was just like, you know, God, but all of those works come from outside of you. It's your energy that attracts whatever to you. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it took me a long time. Like when I was on my show last Sunday, I was talking about that when I had left my husband, it was a voice that came and said, why are you still sitting here? Well, it took me a couple of years to analyze that voice, and I was like, well, what did that voice sound like? Well, Sister Tara, when I really thought about it, that was my voice. The sound was my voice asking me, why are you still putting up with this bullshit? Get your ass up and go. You know what I'm saying? Quit holding on to these material things, this house. This, that. You're miserable. Get the hell out of here. You know what you got to do. And so I just listened to the voice and did what I had to do. And I've been happy ever since.
And you just touched on something, though. Sometimes we have to go through a situation that mm-hmm. may not feel so good or make decisions to leave somebody behind in order for us to evolve
Absolutely.
And become a better person and be in a better situation.
Absolutely. I mean, each and every.
And I will be doing a show on transformation, evolving,
okay.
and anchors.
Okay. Let me
because
say this.
Sometimes we allow people to be anchors and hold us back.
Oh, tell me about it. Let me tell you though. Each and every fucked up relationship I've been in, I've definitely learned from them.
Yeah.
Trust me, because life is just a big old classroom. You know what I'm saying? And you can learn. You learn from, you're supposed to, in my opinion. Well, this is what I do. I learn from each and every experience. Sometimes I learn what not to do, and sometimes I learn to keep it moving forward. I'm on the right path, right? But there's always a lesson to learn in the choices that you make. And know that the choices that you make always have consequences. The key, have you thought out the consequences? Are you willing to accept what could happen? You see what I'm saying? So, you know, life is a girl. Look, life is beautiful. That's all I can say. It has its ups and downs, and, you know, and you be sad sometimes, happy sometimes, depressed sometimes. You know what I'm saying? But it's all up to you how you navigate through life, through your life, because it's yours. You ain't living in nobody else's life. You're living in your life.
Right. I had a conversation with a sister I've been trying my best to help out. And this is a sister I allowed to stay with me. I would consider her, I'm just going to say sister. I'm not even going to get into all the bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. But I allowed this sister to stay with me. She's a young sister. She's about 18. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm 9 years, 10 years older than her.
You know, you're real old, not a big age difference.
You know, I'm still young. You know,
right?
Wrong. I'm 28 years old. She was just younger than me.
But you are so wise, though, my sister. I just got to say that I learned so much from you. Okay.
Oh. I'm a reflection of what I'm around.
That's right. And what you do.
I try to stay in the cipher of,
right.
of sisters, queens, and goddesses that can keep me on the right path.
That's right, queen. That's right. Mm.
So, you know, mm. that's what I'm going to say. So, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you for that compliment.
Yes.
But I have to stay in the circle of sisters and queens and goddesses that keep me sane.
Right.
That help shape and mold me. That's the point and the sacredness of a sisterhood.
Right.
That's another show.
Right. Right, that's another show.
That's another show. Right. I got a big list here of stuff we need to talk about, stuff the sisters need to talk about and hear about. So all
right.
of this stuff, anything that we talk about but we don't elaborate on tonight, trust me, there will be other shows and other times for us to listen to, to talk about, discuss, and listen to and grow. Because the whole
right.
purpose of everything that's on the Black Womaniverse is for the Black woman to grow.
Right.
We have to get out of this state of thinking somebody is holding us back. No one can hold you back unless you allow them to.
Hello.
And if you are allowing someone to hold you back, then what is your problem?
Exactly.
Because, see, it's not them. The reason I brought the sister up is because the sister that I was allowing to stay with me, I tried so much to help her, you know. I would talk to her all the time. You know, I wasn't charging her anything because a part of me moving into a big house, a bigger house, was so I could have space to help sisters out. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, Queen of Fama, you and I have talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a passion of mine, is being able to help people in their time of need. That's just me. That's just what I do. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
just a part of me. It's nothing extra. You know, that's just what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And in trying to help this sister out, I had to come to a realization that she wasn't ready for help.
Right.
And for me, that was something really hard.
Right.
Because the sister's young. She was in the foster care system. You know,
mm-hmm.
she's been, you know, molested,
right.
raped, lied on, you know, some of everything. She's been in foster care. Then she ran away from foster care, so they put her in a juvenile detention center like she was in a jail.
Right.
Because she
mm-hmm.
ran away from the foster home.
Right.
And she had a mother and a father and aunts. No one is attempting to help her because they say she's too much, but they're not acknowledging their role and why she's too much.
Right.
Nonetheless,
right.
because she thinks she grown, I talk to her on adult level. I'm like, look, you say you grown. You say you know right from wrong, but you keep making the wrong decisions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And a situation happened here in my home, and I had to let her know, everywhere you stay, when you stay with other people, there are going to be some guidelines and some rules because you stay in other people's house.
Exactly.
And so I'm not going to get into any details, but she, on a couple of occasions, and this wasn't the first, second, or third time I've attempted to help her. This is the fourth time since February of 2009 that I've tried to help her.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to kick her out of my house. And I said, you know, this time is the last time. You're not ready to change. There's nothing more I can do for you. I love you, but you have to go.
Exactly. At some point, you got to let them go, sis.
but it hurt because I've been through a lot of things in my life that I'm not going to get into right now. And, you know, some of the things that, you know, I saw some of me in her, as though you'll see with most sisters. You know,
mm-hmm.
we aren't so much different.
Mm-hmm.
All of us have, you know, situations that we share and we can talk about and help other sisters out with, you know, and that hurt because I wanted to help her so bad, but I had to let go.
But let me say this to you. See, at some point, when people need help, when they have to want help.
And, Exactly.
See, a lot of times people want help, but what they actually want is a crutch. They don't really, that's the help that they want. They want to lean on you, but they, you know, if they want a permanent crutch, not somebody to help them until they can stand up, but and learn to stand up. They're not willing to learn. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell you this, and this is just a butt naked truth. It's a lot of people who think you're supposed to do stuff for them.
Right.
They think they just got it, that they got it coming. And I'm like, no, you don't. We all have to earn our way in life, regardless to what circumstances we may come from. Hey, look, I am one to say I ran away from home at 13, so I've been in the street for a very, 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 very long time. I've seen some things and done some things myself. However, what I did do, which kept me out of a lot of trouble, is that I listened to those who were willing to help me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? To guide me. You know, they may be considered street people or whatever other people may wish to call them, but these people have helped me. From their own experiences, they would say, uh-uh, little sister, don't do that. Because this is what happened. You know what I'm saying? And you have to learn to listen to people who have the experience, who have the knowledge. And like I said, a lot of times people just want to use. You see, we live in a society that is groomed on using people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's that type of a culture. So when you find someone who opens up their home and open up their heart to you, not you per se, but, you know, to people who need assistance, they feel as though, you know, they got that coming and you supposed to do stuff for them. You know what I'm saying? And I get to a point, man, I'd be like, get the fuck away from me.
This is the thing that happened today, though. I just had to give a little bit of background before I explain what happened today, because we were just talking about people making decisions about what's mm-hmm. in their life and focusing mm-hmm. on them and taking time out for themselves. Because as much as you want to help other people, you don't take time out for yourself. You can't do nothing for nobody else.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
And so she called me today, and no, this wasn't today. This was yesterday. She called me, and, you know, it's the middle of my day. I'm at the plantation picking cotton. So I'm on the field picking cotton and answering my cell phone. I'm just kidding. So she called, and I answered the phone. You know, sometimes I look when I know it's her, and I'm like, what is it now?
Yeah.
So I took a deep breath, you know, because I want to still be there for her, even though she cannot live here. So
yeah.
I answered the phone. I was like, hey, sis, how you doing? She's like, hey. And she's all frustrated and kind of sort of yelling in my ear and talking all fast. And I was like, slow down. Hold on. Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Calm down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you're frustrated and you got stuff going on, but I don't.
Okay.
I am not going to allow you to make me frustrated and negative and start to have stuff going with me. So we're going to stop that energy right here. Pump your brakes.
Right.
So I was like, slow down. Tell me what's going on. So she proceeded to tell me how she called her aunt, and her aunt said some things to her and got her upset and this and that, and she's trying to get her a place to live, and she's talking about this and that. And I'm like, hold on, wait a minute. You got a whole lot going on. First, let's deal with the situation of you calling your aunt. Is this the first time you called your aunt and she didn't got you upset and said some things to you you ain't like? She was like, no. I said, so we've had this conversation before, and what I tell you, stop calling her. I said, wow, you're very bright. I said, so when you call your aunt and she starts off being rude and nasty to you, you can always say, you know what, auntie, I love you. I'll talk to you later. Hang up. But instead, you sit on the phone and you allow her negativity to move to you. See, that's kinetic energy. She done pushed all her stuff off on you.
And now you
have to deal with her negativity because you chose to. You could have ended the call, but you didn't. So now you're calling me expecting to be able to put that on me, and you're not going to be able to do that. So the next time she calls you, you're going to have to make a decision. Do I want to be upset, or do I want to not deal with her stuff?
Right.
So
exactly.
that alleviates that situation.
Right. It does.
It trips me out. You know, and I used to allow that to happen. I used to allow people to call me. And how did somebody make you upset? Did they put a gun to your head and say, be upset? I mean, I understand people get you upset and hurt your feelings, and but at some point you have to stop and say, you know what, I'm not going there. I was having a good day, and I'm going to continue to have a good day and shake it off and keep it moving.
Exactly. At some point, you got to make that decision.
Sometimes misery loves company, and for some people,
absolutely.
For some people, they want to make you upset because they're upset.
Right.
Because they don't understand how to work through their problems or work through their feelings.
Right.
And this just came to mind. I didn't even want to speak about this today, but I'm going to touch on it. Some sisters, and I'm speaking to sisters because I am a sister, and this show is for sisters. Some sisters, when they don't feel good about themselves, they talk to they speak to you about what their self-esteem issues are.
Right.
For example, I'm a sister that happens to be a little thick. I'm not skinny, and I like it. I love it. I'm cute, and I'm sexy with it.
Okay.
And I'm confident with it.
Okay.
If a man does not like my appearance, that is his problem, not mine.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
So the thing about it is I've encountered certain situations where because of how I handle things, women expect me, when they run into me, they like, you know, if I don't feel good about something that's going on with me, I notice that when women don't feel good about something with them, or they're a little, what's the word I'm looking for, intimidated by you and your appearance, they go after something that they don't like. For instance, if they have issues with their body, and they could be small women, they could be petite women with nice shapes, but just because a woman looks nice on the outside doesn't mean she feels that way on the inside.
Right, right.
And we have to understand that these are our sisters. So you can't just, you know, you could just throw away, be like, F you, blah, blah, blah. But because these are our sisters, we ain't necessarily supposed to handle it like that, although sometimes you might have to just walk away from it. There's no issue, not mine. However,
right.
I've noticed that in this particular situation, this sister started saying things about, you know, me and my weight.
Right, right.
Because
okay.
She has issues with herself. And so there was a male involved in the situation, and I guess she thought, by saying something to that male about my weight, that would make her look better in his eyes. Or what have you. But when back around and got to me, I'm like, well, you know, I don't have self-confidence issues. So talking about me and my weight, that just makes me laugh. That's laughable.
Right.
Because I don't have issues like that. And I know plenty of brothers who like them thick.
Hello?
Okay. So I don't have a problem. I don't want to be skinny.
Right.
I may want to lose a little, you know, want to lose a couple of pounds, want to slim down in certain areas, but that's cool. I'm still cool with mine. I don't, you know, stand in the mirror and talk about I don't like this and I don't like that about myself.
Right.
I love
me. Right.
Right. And some that's the key. Some sisters do not know how to handle another sister that truly loves herself because
exactly.
They don't love themselves.
Right. That is
and that's
so
a
true.
Problem with black women because when we turn on the TV, it's certain stuff society tells us should be beautiful, but it doesn't fit us.
Right. Right. Exactly.
We are
We're
beautiful.
We're trying to live up to another standard.
Thank you. Black woman. Listening to this show live or in archive, you are beautiful. No matter what age you are, no matter if you got natural hair or relaxed hair, a piece glued in, sewed in, infused in, I don't care what you got. You beautiful, you look good, and you need to rock it like you know it.
That's right. That's what I think.
Don't
That's
let nobody right. tell you that you do not look good. Do not let nobody make you think less of yourself.
Right, right. Absolutely.
You walk
Absolutely.
Around with your head up no matter what anybody else say because it doesn't even matter what anybody else thinks of you.
Right, right.
And that was something I had to learn. You know,
right.
You know, that's another show, though.
over the years.
Like I said, it's a lot of stuff. I mean, I'm 28 years old. I'm young. I'm loving life. It's a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, it's a lot of stuff that I really want to talk about. I ain't going to get into all of it on this show. But,
right.
I mean, women need to take time out for themselves. The time out could just be to get into the tub, put some, you know, sea salts in the tub, put you some peppermint, essential oil, lavender, you know, light through a candle or play some soft music or whatever relaxes you and lets you appreciate that divinity in you because you deserve that.
Absolutely.
You just made it through a tough week. You know what I'm saying? You just, you know, dealt with family. You know, you stressed out, relax, and enjoy you.
And you know what? You know what, Sister Tyron? The thing is, see, that's why I buy the body butters from you, the oils from you. It's because when I'm stressed, you know, you get stressed from the day, and you know, I know how to take care of me. You know what I'm saying? And I love my own skin soft. You know what I'm saying? I take care of my own, but I do my feet, my. You know, I don't have to go to an agent to get my feet done. I do my own feet. I love getting the crust off of the heels of my feet and doing my toes and pushing back cuticles and rubbing my feet. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's all about, you know, you have to know how to pamper yourself. You don't have to always, you know, go out to someone. You can, you know, you just have to love yourself. And I've listened to so many sisters who are so stressed out. When, you know, and I can understand those that have children and, you know, they feeling as though their children are pulling on them. But, see, that's where learning how to discipline your children is concerned, is where they have to know when it's mommy time. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You make sure they're occupied, fed, that they have something to do, not sitting them in front of a TV and letting that be a babysitter, but also, you know, teaching them how to bring out their own creativity while you can go into the bathroom and without somebody always knocking on the door, or, you know, you can't have a moment to yourself. That's why for me, even though I live alone, the early hours of the morning is the best time for me. You know what I'm, that's why I get up early. I get up at 5:30, because that's the time I commune with God. You see, me and God have this conversation, you know, talking to yourself. We be talking. You know, oh, you talking to you? Yeah, I'm talking to God. You know, God is telling me what to do today. God, get your ass up and do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying?
It's like you have to program yourself or self-hypnotize yourself.
Exactly, exactly.
Because that's exactly what it is. And I'm going to go ahead and give somebody another secret. And I know I discussed this with you.
Mm-hmm.
Doing one of our private, lengthy conversations we always have. we discussed candles. Do you remember that conversation?
Oh, yeah.
And,
your fire.
That's
hey,
not
you
the part
been burned,
I'm talking
about, you fire.
That's not the part I'm talking about, though. But I'm glad you remember the conversation.
Yes,
candles and people purchasing candles and a green one for money and a red one for attraction and a yellow one for, you know, serenity and health. And, you know, candles are great. Mm. They're great. But the magic isn't in the candle.
Mm-hmm.
What the candle does and what the candle is a outside reminder of what you're supposed to be focusing on.
Right.
So if I'm trying to focus on prosperity, then that green candle for 7 days, if I have a 7-day candle and it's sitting on my altar or wherever I decide to put it, that every time I look at it and that flame flickers, it's reminding me and kind of sort of like a self-hypnosis to keep my mind focused on prosperity, because whatever you focus on is what you bring into your life. So if you're focused on why he don't love you no more and why he cheating on you, or, you know, why you can't seem to get it together and why you can't lose these 10 pounds and, you know, if you're focused on being hard on yourself and focusing on negative things, then that is what you attract.
Exactly. Exactly.
So those candles and those colors are just a reminder of what you're supposed to be focusing on. So candles are good, but there's no magic in that candle.
Exactly.
And I sell candles, and I'm telling you that there's no magic in the candle. The candle is just a reminder.
Right.
The magic
right.
is you.
Exactly. Wow. And see, that's the whole thing about symbols, which is why in my jewelry I use a lot of symbols. They are reminders. You know, they remind you of sayings or what the symbol actually represents, you know, like the Ankh's life and all, you know, Yin Yang, God, and, you know, all of those. They represent an ideology, a thought. You know what I'm saying? But it still all comes up is out from out inside of you to
right.
manifest that and make it real in your life. You know, like I said, life is simple, girl. It ain't complicated.
It's very simple. We make it hard. We make
right.
it real hard. You know,
right.
we got all these different things. We make life real hard, but it's very simple.
It is.
You are essence of the Creator.
Yep.
And you need to
yep.
treat yourself as such.
Exactly. It is so simple.
And we need to access our higher selves in dealing with people. If it's somebody that, you know, whether it's a business deal or just a friendship or a relationship or anything, if you don't
mm-hmm.
know right offhand what to do, just calm yourself, be still, and wait.
That's it. That's it.
And whatever comes to your mind first when thinking of that situation, go with that, because that is you.
Right, right.
You don't
Absolutely.
Need to call somebody up and ask for a divination.
Right.
And I do divinations as well. But you don't need to call me and ask me for a divination. You can do the same thing yourself. In fact, as a matter of fact, when you do it yourself, it's better because you know all your ins and outs.
Exactly. Exactly. And see, the saddest thing is that we've been conditioned to go outside of self.
Exactly.
You know, so, and like you would say, I don't think there's anything wrong with guidance. You know what
no.
I'm saying?
It's
but the at the end of the day, exactly. And at the end of the day, it's going to be you that manifests whatever energy you need to make your life move forward.
Exactly.
It's going to be you. You know what I mean? And these are things that I've learned, you know, in my 56 years on the planet, is that, you know, the idea of thinking for self is key. You know, and I'm not easily swayed by personality or, you know, just because someone has a good handle on knowledge or whatever. You know, I understand that at the end of the day, it's what I'm going to get out of something. You know, how I'm going to apply that in my life, you know, where I don't have to keep coming and sit on a bench every Sunday, you know, giving up my hard-earned dollars to somebody who's living 1,000 times better than I am, and I can just barely pay my light and gas bill. It's not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just doesn't fall on logic to me.
Let me just give...
That's pimping.
Say that again?
That's pimping.
That's pimping.
That's pimping.
Easy, but they say somebody got to do it. Not here, goddamn it.
Okay, not here.
And by the way, they say pimping ain't easy, but it look easy as a motherfucker to me. If I can just
okay.
get a person and tell people, you know, I'm the messenger. You know, tithe and get your first fruits and your 10%
right.
to God, and you know, pray to God and. He's going to make it all better. Again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is the problem I have.
Mm-hmm.
What if God, you know what? I'm going to use this analogy I said to somebody before. Creator made us. Whether you want to refer to Creator as Creator, God, or whatever you want to call him,
right.
her, or it.
Right.
For your understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I know what
right.
I refer to it as, but for your understanding.
Right.
You know. When God created us or allowed a part of its essence to manifest as I, me, and you. Hey, Diva Mama Tanya, I see you out there. When Creator allowed you to be and allowed you to manifest, when you were born, you had everything you needed in order to survive.
Right.
So why is it that you think you need to pray to something else or ask somebody else for something? That's the same as you learning Spanish and then going to Spain and asking somebody how to say something. When you learn Spanish, you were given everything you needed to know to be able to have a conversation. Now, okay, if you don't use it, you lose it. And I'm a prime example of that because I was fluent in Spanish, and because I didn't use it, I lost it.
Okay.
And I'm just using that for an example because that was something, you know, one of the languages, since one of the African languages in school, but, you know, anyway. you know, it's the same as that. You won't turn to your teacher and ask her, you know, how do I say hello in Spanish? You're already supposed to know how to do that.
Right.
So you don't, when we were born, we had everything we needed in order to survive. Yeah, we may need to eat and we may need some clothing and shelter, but I'm pretty sure that we had enough information within our brains and within our body to maneuver our way through life and find out how to get things to eat, how to build a house, and how to put some clothes on your back if you don't want to walk around naked.
Right.
I personally think we should all walk around naked, but anyway.
Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice if we could in a better climate,
for sure, definitely in a better climate.
You know.
But I just think it's, you know, ludicrous for people to keep going outside of self. You know, the time frame that we're in, we need to learn how to, you know, utilize. Some people refer to them as guides. Some people say spirits. Some people say higher self. Whatever you want to refer to it as, you need to know how to get in tune with that so that you can, you know, do for self.
Right.
And we need to take time out for ourselves and nurture that intuition within us. Because if you don't spend time with yourself, you can be like Queen of Fama was at the beginning. Who the hell is that?
Right.
Who just said that to me? I ain't that shit. I don't know who the hell that was. And I'm not telling nobody. They just told me that either because then they're going to think I'm crazy.
That is so true. But it is. It's a matter of listening to self. See, I always use this analogy of this big voice and then it's this small, soft voice. And in my experience, it's always been that small, soft voice that was the right one. But it's not loud, you know what I'm saying, which means that you have to have the art of listening to self, you know, because you got a bigger voice, and there's a bigger sound that's always going to cater to your desires and wants that, you know, generally lead you down a path to cause you some kind of harm, these desires that we have that are kind of like influence us from outside of ourselves. But it's that inner voice that'll say, don't you do that shit. That, you know, something ain't right about that. You know what I'm saying? It's that inner voice that always tells you don't do it, but you always, for some reason, we as human beings, always got to put our foot in the scalding water to see if it's hot when we see the damn smoke coming out. You know what I'm saying? You see other people getting scalded, but you got to put your foot in there too. You know, it's unbelievable that we don't really learn from other people's mistakes and errors in life. You know, looking at other people, like, it's kind of like when I was out in the street, and I used to be around drug addicts, right? Now, I would look at them and say, I know damn well I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be leaning all over, scratching, and, you know, doing God knows what for another hit or whatever. I knew that I learned from them. I looked at them and said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be like that. I didn't have to try it to say, oh, well, it won't happen to me. I'm like, I'm looking at examples all day long. I don't want to do that. You know what I'm saying? And so you learn from your examples. That's why, I guess that's why people make mistakes, so you can learn from them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, people learn from mine, hopefully. You know what I mean? You learn from the mistakes that I've made. It's like I learn from the mistakes other people made. I don't have to test the water. That's right. My point. My point is I ain't got to try it. I see what it's done to you. You know, I don't have to have, you know, this guy, he look all nice and stuff like that, and he next thing you know, he going all upside your head today, and then tomorrow saying he loves you. I'm looking at that, and I'm like, no, he don't. I know I don't want a man like that. You see what I'm saying? And if I smell him coming, I'm going the other way. You know what I mean?
The other thing, too, that it's not the opposite of that, but I guess it's a different viewpoint. Mm-hmm. I share the view of what you just said, but I also know what I'm about to speak to is true as well. Depending on what a person is supposed to learn this time around, even mm-hmm. though they see things happen to other people, mm-hmm. some things you can learn by observation. But some things, no matter what anybody else has to tell you, you have to go through it so it's ingrained in and that you learn from your own personal experience. Like, I've had situations with sisters, and I talk to them and be like, look, you know, I was in, you know, this type of relationship. This is what happened. You know, according to what you're going through, I'm seeing this. It's a direct sign of A, B, C, D, E, F, and G.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But... you know, and I try to, you know, you really don't want to do it that. This is what's going to happen, da-da-da-da-da. And the sister got mad at me for telling her what I said. And I was like, you know what? After, you know, weeks and months later, I was like, look back at the situation. I'm like, you know what? Even though I had that experience, this may be something she needs her own experience from, and people cannot always learn from other people's experiences, and then we have to respect, obviously, you know this, but because I'm young, I had to learn this, and I have to respect the decision she's making. I can't judge her because she's deciding to go through and deal with that. I just know I ain't trying to watch it, so I just had to distance myself from her because I can't sit by and watch somebody else get
exactly
hurt.
Right.
So
right,
I had to
right.
excuse myself from the room for a
exactly,
moment.
Exactly.
So
right. Mm-hmm.
While she went through that thing, and then when she was done, you know, we was cool.
Right.
But you know, we have
like you said, some people got to get the knot. Some people got to get the knot on the head to understand, you know, how certain situation can unfold. I've had my knots myself. But I'm going to say this, I have looked at other people and knew not to do that. Now, I may do something different where I get a knot, but I know I ain't going to do that because I see what it's done to you. So I don't have to experience that. There may be other things that I experienced that I haven't seen that has happened to other people, you know, the consequences of certain choices that I have made. But that one thing I can say, I've seen some things that have happened to other people, and I knew not to go down that road. I knew the consequences of that behavior, and I knew not to exhibit that. But I'm not saying that I didn't have, you know, issues of my own that I've experienced. But, you know, I just knew that there were certain things, like I gave the example of being a junkie or a drug addict. I knew that I didn't want to do that just based on watching other people. I knew I wasn't going to do that because I saw the consequences of that type of choice that they made in their lives. You know what I'm saying?
All right, well, I'm just going to remind our topic tonight, even though we got a little bit off topic, but it's all good because everybody grows from this type of conversation. The topic tonight is time out for me, and I see we have another caller on the switchboard, area code 404. Could you let us know who you are?
This is Diva Mama calling on her cell phone.
Hey,
Diva Mama.
How are my sisters this night?
I am well, and how are you?
I'm pampered. As we're taking time out for ourselves, I hope that I'm not coming off in an echo. Am I okay?
You have a little bit of an echo, but you're okay. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. You know, but in regards to taking time out, for ourselves. You know, that's something that I know is so very important for us as women, especially to do. I mean, everyone needs time out, but this is Black Womaniverse, so I'm going to go there for us. Women, when especially when they're flowing every month, you know, they need to have 4 days out of the month just for themselves to be able to be in that space and to honor that rhythm of their body, you know. And then when they are cycling within, you know, such as myself, you know, when you're no longer flowing forth from your womb, then there's another part of you that says, okay, well, I need to pull back. I need to, you know, take a hot bath or, you know, get up underneath my tent. You know, like I have a white sheet that I use sometime, and I go into that space. And this was a sheet that I had used at a sweat lodge. You know, so it has, even though it's been washed, it has that essence. I feel that essence from the sweat lodge in there. So sometimes I take that sheet and I put it over myself entirely, and I just go into that space, you know, and that gives me a certain feeling of being totally alone, you know, and with myself. I go outside and I sit outside a lot. You know, whether it's a little chilly or not, and I can look into the lake, and that's my time to myself. You know, we have so many things that we do, whether we're going to work, like I know my sister goddess, Seek Wisdom, goddess Tara, and that strong energy, you know, she's going to work every day. She's setting up her business at home. She just finished school. She's running Black Womaniverse online, and then she's got the Blog Talk Radio show, and then she's doing the Order of Ma'at, and then she's tending to family and friends. It's like, excuse me? I know you're a superwoman, girl, but hello. You know, it's like, step back, breathe for a minute.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You just touched on something, though, that I want to speak about since you are the womb shaman. I am witnessing a lot of, and when I hear it, I just cringe on the inside. It makes me hurt on the inside. I'm witnessing so many women that hate their flow. Oh, I feel so bad. My stomach hurt. I'm crying.
Oh, I hated mine.
And it's like we don't realize that if women stopped flowing, life would stop flowing.
Right. See, I didn't know that then. Right. I didn't know that then. You know what I'm
saying?
Yeah,
and it's, you know, we don't, I just want, you know, Diva Mama, if you could speak to, you know, right. Most women who come listen to the Womaniverse have, you know, some inkling of, you know, they may or may not. So can you speak to, you know, the sacredness, you know, of our flow and how that connects us to Mother, you know, Goddess Mother Earth.
I say this right quick? And listening to your show made me miss mine. You know what I mean? and listening to Mama Tanya, I'm telling you, it made me miss mine. I missed that I had that opportunity to really enjoy it, and now I miss it now that I don't have it anymore.
And you know what, sister, it's okay, because now you are remembering, you are relearning, you are here now to share the wisdom, okay, with those that are still flowing, so that they will love the space that they're in every month. And then are you completely menopausal, or are you halfway menopausal, you know what I mean? Like, are you finished for like 5 years, 10 years?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So now you're in that grand mother stage. Not grandma. Grand mother.
Okay, I am a grandma.
Okay, well, it's good to be a grandma, but I took the word and I looked at it and I said, grandmother. Let's separate it. You are now the grand
mother,
and you stand in that space of your wisdom flowing through you on a consistent basis so that you can share now with those that are younger that they will appreciate and grow in their wisdom in a more graceful manner. One of the things, because I too, let me tell you, I found out about this information after I had stopped flowing, okay? I can't even say that I went through what's called a true menopause because I, you know, I was flowing like you turn on a water faucet, okay? And my daughter wanted me to go to the hospital, and I said, no, they will not mask the problem or whatever is going on with me, because I was going through 4 overnight pads. I am now 59. Well, I love it. Oh, gosh, do I love it. Thank you. But, you know, I was 43 at the time, and I didn't know about these things, like really know it. I knew that, you know, there was the rag, but I didn't know what I know now. And I remember I went to my Chinese medicine doctor and up there in New York, and, you know, he looked at the tongue, did what they do, look at the tongue, look at the eyes, feel the pulse, and he said, oh, fibroids. And I said, okay. You know, so I said, well, the bleeding. And he said, don't worry. You know, 3 days, you no longer bleed. He gave me like 19 different herbs to brew up, and I drank the herb tea, and it took 3.5 days. But I no longer flowed from that point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It was like, it was over. And at the time, I was like jolly. I was happy. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm not bleeding anymore. This means I can't get pregnant. All right, no mistakes, you know. Okay, but when I came into the knowledge of the sacred blood flow and how powerful it was and how beautiful it was and how, you know, we counted off the days and created the lunar calendar and how we anointed ourselves and anointed our all-seeing eye as we flowed and how we decorated the walls with our blood and how we, you know, blessed the altar with our, I was like, what? I was like, Ma, because that's what I call the energy. I was like, Ma, why do you give me this knowledge now? Okay, you wait until I'm not flowing for 7 years, and then you throw these books at me? What's up with this? And what I just told you, Goddess, is what I heard. It's because you must know this now to share it with others. Okay, because I learned about a power in the flow as well. And how women in that energy, you get emotional, you know. We get emotional, okay? And our emotions run very strong at that time, you know, the time just before, especially that time just before, okay, and then during. And this energy runs so high and so strong that we can curse or bless with our words. Because of the emotion that we can put out with that, you know. And it's like, yeah, this information is very sacred, but it's something that needs to be known. Because when we say something with emotion and with intention, we can see it come to pass in the blink of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
So then that makes our prayer, in quote, our prayer time, our ritual time even stronger. Now, the connection to the earth, and this is what I've been teaching and sharing since 2001, since, you know, when I found out about the information, of course, I couldn't keep it in. You know, I had to go blab it. It's like, y'all need to know this because this is powerful. And the women who I've shared this information with, when they followed the teachings, okay, and they went and they bled upon the earth. And when I say that, I don't mean that they actually went into a moon lodge like, you know, back in the days when women actually went to a moon hut or the moon lodge or the moon house, whichever name they called it in whichever region that they were from, but that they would take their pads and they would wash them out, and then they would take that sacred blood water and they would water their plants. You know, or they would go outside and they would water the trees and the bushes and the flowers that they had outside. And when they did this, they found a connection that was so much deeper, okay? They found that they bled less. They found if they were cramping that they didn't cramp as much. You know, they found a beauty within themselves. Now, when one of the things that I say to women when they do this, when they give away, as it's called in many Native American traditions, they call it the giveaway. Mm-hmm. I say, when you go to the earth, when you pour your blood upon the earth, say, thank you, Mother. Thank you for the food, the clothing, and the shelter that you provide for me. And thank you for peace on earth, goodwill towards all. And this gives you a bubble of loving protection as well, because some women have had deeper visions and didn't know how to handle it, okay? And I asked them, I said, well, are you saying what I recommended that you say? And they'd be like, no, Mama. And I'm like, hello? Okay. You want to be able to, in quote, protect yourself from absorbing so much energy. You know, because we're very sensitive and we pull, we're empathic or empathetic, okay? We pull in a lot of energy. And it's always good. I don't necessarily say white light, okay, because there's all spectrums within that, all right? I like the rainbow, okay, as far as light is concerned. But I know that love is a very powerful energy. It's a very it's an energy that makes you happy and giggly all inside, and you have all this bliss running through you. And when you have when you're surrounded and you're exuding all of this love for yourself, the love for the fluids that come from your body, when you have all that energy coming through you, okay, then there is nothing actually that can really penetrate that. Okay, but you've got to, and it's not believing it, it's knowing it. And it's not knowing it with arrogance. It's just,
yeah.
Okay, it's like, I know.
Yeah.
I noticed that I've run into a lot of women that are complaining, oh, it's that time, and I have this and I have that, and it hurt, and I wish I didn't have it. What resources could a woman that knows another woman who feels that way, or if they themselves feel that way, what resources could they could you refer to them in terms of books or websites or what have you, where they could get knowledge and information that goes along with what you were just saying to understand that sacred time and how appreciating that time could decrease the what they would call PMS symptoms and even other, you know, symptoms that women happen to manifest, and I chose that word specifically, that women mm-hmm. manifest because of the being unappreciative of our cycle.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, wombshamans.ning.com, which is the Ning network that I created in order for women to be able to come into sacred space and to learn and to share their knowledge, their wisdom, because even if they don't know, they do know something, okay? But to ask questions within the network so that this way there are other women besides myself that can speak to certain things. So I would definitely recommend wombshamans.ning.com. And then as far as books are concerned, Her Blood is Gold by Lara Owen, powerful book. I found out that at a certain centrifugal force that a woman's blood turns to gold. And I was like, okay, so that's why the name of the book. That's definitely a very good book to read. Barbara G. Walker's book, which is not just dealing with the cycle, but it has a very good portion in there on menstrual blood. The Women's Encyclopedia of Myths and Secrets. There are some books that are now outdated or out of print, I should say, but you may be able to get them on Amazon. One of them is called Blessings of the Blood, which are actually stories of various women who have enjoyed their cycle once they have learned about it. There's another one called Dragon Time, which is a very, very good book, small but powerful book. There's also another book called 105 Ways to Celebrate Menstruation. That book is currently in print. And, you know, just start there. And if you start there and you look at some of the bibliography that's there in those books, it can take you to other places. But in Womb Shamans, again, you know, when you come in there, there are things that are beginning to happen more. There are going to be more calls, especially coming up in 2010, where we can start, you know, chatting on a weekly basis, sort of.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because I know that a lot of women are going through this, and it basically is dealing from a patriarchal mindset, and I'm not going to say men. I'm going to say patriarchy because there are women that
exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Many women perpetuate that.
Yeah, a lot of women perpetuate that. And Bria, mm-hmm. We can't even sit there and say that we can't say it's just men and we can't say that it's non-African. Because in, I forget which country it is, I think it's Senegal or either, I don't remember which country it's in. But
that's what I speak.
It's a country in Africa where the women are practicing, you know, female mutilation. You know, they're perpetuating what the Muslim men do to the women in terms of, you know, so, we can't sit there and blame it on any other culture, and we can't blame it on just men because at most times some sisters are becoming to or are beginning and or continuing to act like, you know, act out those things, you know. So we have to look at what we're doing and what role we play, and we have to acknowledge our role and responsibility in it. This is not the time frame to keep pointing to everybody else. What are you going to do about your situation?
And, you know, when you point your finger, three are pointing back at you.
Yeah.
Okay? So it's a thing, yes, we do have to stop pointing the finger, and we just need to take responsibility for what it is that is happening within ourselves now. It's like, okay, so that happened. All right? I understand that happened, but this is where I'm at now, and this is where I need to step from this point. Okay, it's almost like, okay, so we might have needed therapy. But, you know, personal experience, in my house, when my brother died, you know, I had a brother that died. He was born with complete brain damage. I lived with that for 3 years. It drove me up a wall. It put my mother in the hospital. It put her into drinking alcohol. It separated the family, even though we still lived together. Yeah, did we need therapy? You're damn right. Okay. Do I stay there in that space? No, I don't. Okay, because then I would be not a nice person because I would be pointing the finger at the fact that, no, there was no therapy. And the reason why I say that is because as a people, okay, as an African-centered people, if you will, the more that we continue to blame, okay, because we didn't go through therapy and because we didn't get this and we didn't get that, we're not helping ourselves to progress to where we know that as the divine beings that we are in human form, that we can be. You know, I mean, everyone has that gift within them, okay? I look at the people that I relate to very strongly, all right, which are Black African people, who I relate to in America very, very strongly because I was raised in that culture, and I see the energy and the power and the wisdom that is innate within them,
mm-hmm.
okay? And then I see how so many who are so conscious are constantly within a world of conspiracy, and I'm like, wait a minute now. Come here. Look at something a little differently. You got all this power. You've got all this energy. Why don't you use that to really uplift instead of constantly blaming, end quote, the white man and the white woman for all of your ills? Damn it, if you're that powerful, then they can't do anything if you want to look at it like that. Come on.
Yes.
Okay.
You know what? You know what, Diva? I always say this. I don't give white folk that much power.
Nope.
I really don't. You know what I'm saying? And I think that we subconsciously do think that the white man is God. We really have been indoctrinated to a point whereas subconsciously we look at white people as the ultimate. You know what I'm saying? The ultimate model for humanity. And I'm like, history should tell us that that is definitely not. Look at the ills that have been caused on the planet due to their interactions with other people. So, you know, to say that, you know, and we say these things like, you know, that's, I remember when I was coming up, growing up, you know, in the 60s and the 70s, we used to always call them the man, that the man, you know what I'm saying? And it just seems like we subconsciously have been indoctrinated to think that they have all this power. And it's only power that we give to someone. They can't do the things that they do unless we acquiesce to them.
And you know, I want to share this because I understand, you know, the paradigm that you speak of, okay? But one of the things that I've been hearing lately, okay, and I can't even say lately, but for quite a few years now, and it is coming from, in quote, and I'm going to even say so-called because words are very limiting, whether we use words as black or African or whether we use words or white or Caucasian or European. Their words are very limiting. But what I'm seeing is that the spiritual essence of what the indigenous people taught and teach, whether they're indigenous from Africa, whether they're indigenous from South America, or whether they're indigenous from here, that the European or the fair child is studying and learning, and they're taking the information, and yes, they're teaching it. And what I have seen happen is an explosion of this energy of love, of compassion, of unity, of consciousness, of, you know, we're all on this planet together and we all need to breathe and live here. This is our home. This is what we know. There's another consciousness that's coming about. And I'm like, okay, there's something, and I wish I knew this whole thing. My husband knows it backwards and forwards, but it's something, what is it? It's not Resolution 13, it's something 13. And it was written by Anthony Browder, I think it was, some time ago. But it was like, and I'm going to paraphrase because I never remember the quote. The paraphrase is, we knew as the original parents, we taught our children, okay, then we forgot. Now they're teaching us, will we forget again? So,
oh, that is Anthony Browder. I read that. I think that might be also in Nile Valley Contributions to Civilization.
Okay.
I mean, he's right. Written a couple of books, but I remember that hearing that quote.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like if we say that we are the original parents, okay, I am the original mother as a black woman, as an African woman out of Tanzania. Okay, or in Tanzania, which however you say that, some people say whatever. But nonetheless, here I am, and I have given birth to humanity. I, as mother, taught my children. I am the first teacher. Now, if I disown my child, then my child rebels. When I disown my child, I mean, we see that today with young brothers and young sisters who are not raised with mothers, how they respond, okay? They don't respond too well, many of them, to mothers, okay? So as a mother, if we threw our child away and said, I don't want to be bothered with you anymore, and you end up in the Caucasoid Mountains or wherever, if we look at that history and that paradigm, you know, and then it's almost like I use the analogy of I punched you in your face or I punched you in your stomach and you broke my jaw, Okay, so now my jaw is repaired, all right, and I see that I cannot disown any of my children because then I am not going to see what I see that we can have, and that's peace on earth. This planet is going through major shifts. Those of us who are conscious of the power of words, the power of emotions, the power of energy, if we say that everything is energy and we know that everything is energy, if we say that words have power, if we say all of these things, and then we still perpetuate the energy of a lot of anger, a lot of pain, a lot of grief, then we are adding that to the planet, and we're not helping the situation, especially if we're more conscious. That's how I see it. Okay? I know in my heart, okay, in my womb heart, in my gut, that first of all, the black woman is the one who's the last one to go en masse and pour her blood back into this earth. She's the last. Okay.
Okay. A lot of the stuff that's been going on, you know, it's mainly, when you look at what's going on globally, it's mainly, and I'm stating facts. People can consider it pointing fingers or whatever, but it's mainly European men who are perpetuating what is going on now. And brothers, I love you dearly. I do. Y'all look good. Smell good. All right, I'm going to stop there because I can keep going. Anyway,
no, go ahead. They want to hear that, baby.
I had to take a deep breath on that one because sometimes they be walking by and I be like, God damn, where is your mama? I got to shake her hand, give her a hug, don't embrace her because, God damn, you look good. Okay, all right, bring it back in.
All right, Bring it back.
But brothers, I love you dearly. But in the process of us as a people, and I'm just speaking about black people right now, trying to get our heads together and figure out what's going on right now, in the process of doing so, not all of the brothers, but some of the brothers have gotten to a point where I've heard brothers make comments like, y'all black women taking this goddess thing too far.
Right.
And make comments such as the brothers that get on the radio, not all, but some. I've heard one brother who, see, I can't say too much because then I would be calling this brother out, and I ain't really trying to do that, but if you shoot fit, wear it. Let the chips fall where they may. Anyway. I mean, it is what it is. But it's a couple of brothers in particular that, you know, the black woman is God, you know, that's where we come from. You know, she's the mother of everybody. She's the mother of all humanity, the black Eve, blah, blah, blah. But then when you get off the air, you're going to tell the woman that her place is in the home. And then your comment stops there. You cannot have your comment stop there because as a black woman, my place is in the home. But guess where my home is? My home is everywhere.
I knew you were going to say that.
My home is
everywhere. Can Mama say something here too, sweetheart?
Sure.
Because yes, what you're saying is sweet. I like it, like honey. When talking about the white man and the perpetration, okay, of all the things that's going on, I say, he made himself in the image and likeness of God. He made the picture of the white man as God. Jesus is God. The angels are white. Everybody is white. Okay? So here you now. Here's this man who said, well, I made myself in the image and likeness of God. I've got to live up to this. God does everything, you know, so, okay, there's the wrath which came in with Zoroastrianism. Okay? The wrath of God came in there. And some other things that happen. So here, subconsciously, he's got this in his head that he's got to live up to this image that he's looking at, that was made for him to live up to. So he's suffering because he's lost himself. His woman is suffering because she's the virgin whore, okay, you know. And then you have other people that are coming up underneath that, that are going through their challenges and their changes because of this image of this white male as God. Okay, in Islam, there is no image. You know, there's words, but there's no image.
You know what? You are right.
That's right.
I've never seen that. I've never seen Allah.
Right.
No.
I can tell you what Jesus looked like, though.
Right. Right.
Okay. And then the picture that you tell me, I mean, it's like
we got Michelangelo to thank for the picture.
Exactly. And Michelangelo was commissioned, and he supposedly had a history of you know, getting people who were prisoners, who were beggars, and all the rest of that to make the, I mean, it's a great piece of art, okay, you know, for him to be upside down like that painting for all them years, bless his heart, okay? But he couldn't make it in any other image than what they had commissioned him to make. Okay, number one. And then who was he? He was a white male. It's like we need to make sure that people see this over here. And if they don't see that, then they're not going to be able to toe the line. So now the image is being knocked down. You had your Jewish women that went and did a lot of research in regards to the goddess. They wrote the books. They did movies and all the rest of that. They brought it to the forefront. They rebelled. They fought back. They said, enough of this. You're not going to do this to me anymore. Okay? And then you have those of us who discovered the goddess as well, even more so because we went beyond Ifa. All right, because many of us were not ordained into the religion of Ifa, okay? You know, we may have had an affinity for Oshun and for Oya and Yemaya. You know, those are the three main female goddesses or deities or Orisha that we know about in Ifa, okay? You know, and most women want to be Oshun and just relate to Oshun. I love it. Love her, you know. But then there's, you know, there's the energy of Yemaya. So we didn't want to necessarily be in that organized religion of Ifa to recognize the goddess, if you will. Okay. So then we started adopting, all right, you know, into Wicca with the goddess Diana and Athena, who actually came out of Africa. Okay, Black Athena. You know, and Medusa relating to her and relating to the deities of Egypt, okay, and identifying there very strongly, you know. But now it's across the board. It's like, look, hey, 10,000 names. I can be whomever I am. I am. Black men, as you were speaking, sister, black men who say you black women are taking this goddess thing a little bit too far, it takes me back to something where I was free and sovereign, but yet and still you need to shut up. I can't be free and sovereign and shut up. Either I'm free and sovereign or I'm a slave. Which one am I?
Right.
Okay. I am the goddess or I'm not. Okay. I am the diva, which means goddess, or I'm not. Okay. You are my son. If you want me to take it there, I will take it there.
Okay.
My lap is your first throne. You came through my womb. I fed you with my breast. You had milk from my breast. Okay? Now, I'm not trying to get on you, but stop getting on me. Okay? Love me as I am, and I will love you as you are.
Exactly. And I think the problem is, well, from my point of view, some men do not understand that if you come home with a mama, in essence, and understand that every indigenous culture, when you look at language, in every indigenous culture, mama equated to God.
Hold on.
Look it up. Pick whichever one. Pick a country, go into their language, and find the word for mama or grandma and find out what it means. In almost every indigenous language, You can pick Dogon, you can pick Hopi, you can pick, you know, a country in South America, you can pick any continent, any country on the continent of Africa, what have you. You can even look, if you want to look at some other cultures, you know, whatever you want to do, but in every indigenous culture, the word for mama equated to God.
Mm.
Because the men couldn't understand how she was able to, you know, bring forth life.
Mm-hmm.
So she brought forth
right.
life.
Right.
And she brought forth life. She had to be God. How did she create that?
Mm-hmm.
That does not make you underneath her or less of anything. You came from her, so you are a part of that, just as she is a part of the creator.
Right.
Give
mm-hmm.
love to that which made you. All she does is return it back to you. That's not taking anything away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. That's not the concept.
Exactly, and this is where that balance that you're speaking of comes in. It's like my strength is different from your strength. We both have our strength. I am not trying to get one up on you, boyfriend, my brother, my son. I'm not trying to do that. That's not where I'm coming from. I'm coming from a place of love. Let's work this out together, okay? Understand me. Immerse yourself. And I say understand opposed to overstanding, and I'm going to explain why I stick with understanding. Give thanks to my sister Tribal Queen, okay, is that when you're under something, you're immersed in it.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm seeing a vision of being immersed in water in the womb, that's why I understand, because I am immersed in this energy of saying, my brother, my son, my king, my consort, my husband, my lover, my friend. Mm, you sweet chocolate man. Come here, darling. Let's talk. Let's love. Let's meld together. Let us sweat together. Sweet sweat. And may you know, as I know, that the energy combined is much more powerful than it is if you point your finger at me and tell me, your woman, shut up and sit in the corner. That ain't going to work.
Because that brings that Cali out at the wrong time.
Hold on.
That bring Cali and segment energy out at the wrong time. We don't want to have that confrontational type of vibe with you when there's so many other things we can put that energy towards.
Right.
You know, we want to be able to love the brothers and do what we got to do for our people and get our heads on right. So we can figure out, you know, have time for ourselves, figure out what's going on with Earth right now. Because I don't know if everyone is aware of this, but it's a lot. Diva Mama, you spoke about this earlier, but there's a lot of changes going on with the Earth right now. And with us having to, quote, unquote, war with each other, you know, that's taking time away from all of us paying attention to our own evolution and becoming better at ourselves and self-appreciating and loving the life that you have and being able to live blissfully. I shouldn't have to be worried. We all need to be thinking about, you know, treating ourselves better, loving ourselves, getting in contact with that intuition, feeling that and moving with that. We shouldn't be focusing on, you know, the black woman ain't God, the black man ain't God. That's an irrelevant situation. You are an essence of the divine having a human experience in a story.
Mm-hmm.
The essence of the divine does not have a gender until you get to the physical level. Upon the physical level, that masculine or feminine energy can manifest itself. But on a spiritual level, there is no gender.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Speak, sister.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, here you are, sister, goddess Tara. All right. We have a young sister here.
Yes.
Young. Okay. Yes. If you don't mind, can I put your age out there?
You can go ahead.
She's under 30. Okay. I'll put that. She's under 30. You have a, and I'm saying this for the brothers especially.
Diva Mama, she done already told us how old she was tonight.
Yeah, I told him I was 28.
Oh, okay. All right, so she's 28. Thank you so much, God. All right, so here we have a 28-year-old sister. She's wise, okay, and some would say beyond her years, all right, but she was raised in the right family, all right. She had the right daddy to share information with her, the right father to share information with her that kept her open because, after all, she came from someplace else. We talked about that, okay? So that's another show, okay? But here you have, and this is for the brothers. I don't know. Are you single, C?
Oh, God.
Are you single, Tara?
Yes, I am.
Okay, all right, so here we go. All right, brothers, you have a 28-year-old woman who's dynamic, attractive, nurturing, intelligent, knows her goddess energy, and is learning more every day, financially independent, okay, you know, and it's, and none of those things are to say in your face.
Wow.
That's not where she's coming from. Now, if those of you brothers who are conscious, who are aware of the energy of the divine feminine, and who appreciate that, and who do not feel threatened by a woman who is queen of her queendom,
wow,
then I would say that Goddess Tara, Seek Wisdom, would be a very, very good companion.
Yes.
Okay. But if you step to her the wrong way and you try to control her, and that's what a lot of brothers try to do, they get these powerful, strong, beautiful, intelligent, sensual women.
Yes.
Oh, did I leave out sensual? I'm sorry. Okay. And then they want to lock her down. No, 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 no. Then you want to take away my power. Then we can't do what we, as the original couple,
mm-hmm,
are able to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, now, if you're interested in meeting Goddess Tara, then I think you need to contact Diva Mama Tanya and Queenie Fama. Yes? Okay? All right? We got to screen you.
I was thinking the same thing.
Come to Grandma.
I'm just laughing right now. I'm like, what did she just do?
Gotta come before the court, baby. Court of the queens. You know that.
Exactly. And you know what? You know what, queen? That's what men did, okay, initially, all right? And not just coming to the father, because, of course, they did go to the father, but, you know, mama had to look too. And within a matriarchal society, and matriarchal did not necessarily mean that I, woman, had it over you and man, you were subservient. Okay? What matriarchy didn't mean that, gentlemen, so get it right. Matriarchy was balanced. But the queen mother had her say because she was the grand mother of the clan.
Hold on right quick, Diva Mama. I apologize. As far as the live stream, we have less than a minute left. If you wish to hear the rest of the remainder of the show, please call in. The call-in number is 646-716-7675. Again, 646-716-7675. I see the few people that are in the chat room. I appreciate you stopping by to listen today. And tune in Sunday for our show with Diva Mama Nutsamu Unk Butterfly. She will be talking about some juicy information.
Oh, yes, she will.
All right, go ahead, Diva Mama. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay. You know, but the thing in the matriarchal or matrilineal society was the man, if he was to be chief or king, okay, he came before the council of grandmothers. And grandmother said, okay, you know, are you going to take care of the people? If you're not taking care of the people, if it's all about you, then you are not going to be the one. okay, you know, because we're choosing you as a council of grandmothers to do the right thing for the people, the village, the clan, the tribe. If he faltered in that, it was the women that removed him and said, you are not chief or king anymore. You're not taking care of all of us. It's not about you. You're chief and king because you are a servant of the people. The people are not a servant to you. Okay. You make sure that we are well protected at all times, well fed, well clothed, all of that. You make sure that everything runs smoothly so that we grandmothers can sit back and smoke our pipe, okay, with our grandfathers and watch the grandchildren running around and teach them while the mothers and fathers make more love so that we can expand the clan. But if you ain't doing the right thing, we can't expand the clan.
And that's another show too right there, because people need to understand. I just had a sit-down with a brother that's here locally in Virginia that comes by to my house because, you know, we have an open house here, a lot of sisters here, you know. So, you know, brothers come by here and there, you know, sit down, talk, chill, or what have you. And one of the brothers that comes over here often, we were having a conversation about relationships and sex. And I find that some brothers do not really know, and these, of course, are younger brothers, do not really know, they haven't been trained how to please a woman. Because in so many ways, our society teaches the woman to do everything for the man. But who's teaching the man how to please the woman?
Well, you know, at one time,
say they have never had an orgasm. And for those who do not know, sex is sacred.
Right.
God, if the Creator could have chose anything, anything in the world to create life, the Creator chose sexual energy to be used to create life. So that means that it's sacred, and you cannot give it and share it with everyone.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
A woman's clitoris is directly connected to her heart space, and her pineal gland. So when
big
you come
sister.
At it, you need to come at it correct.
And don't forget about the 8,000 tiny nerve endings in that is built purely for pleasure. It has no other function.
And that is not just what you see on the outside. The clitoris extends into the vagina.
Mm-hmm. It's my little...
As the G-spot. That's just the rest of your clitoris.
Hello. That's my... No, never mind. Well, you know, back in the day, the young men would go to an older woman, not saying she had to be an elder, so to speak, but let's say, for instance, he's 18. Now I have to go to 18 because nowadays you're not a man unless you're 18. You know that, right? But anyway, okay, so you take this 18-year-old and you would bring him to the temple priestess, and she would teach him the fine art of making love to a woman, okay, so that when he did get married, he would know exactly what to do. That fine art is no longer really, I mean, in existence, really, really in existence. I mean, you have it on the down low. You have some men that take their sons to, end quote, a prostitute, okay? But she's not really teaching him. She's just having sex with him to take for him not to be a virgin anymore, okay? But it takes time to teach the fine art of lovemaking. Okay, you know, and it is an art. And it's a beautiful art.
And one other thing to the women, you should know what you like and what you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to just go ahead and say this because, you know, that's just what I do. I say stuff. You have no way to know what you like and what you don't like unless you take some time out with yourself.
Right.
It's called self-love. You know, you have no idea what you like. You cannot explain anything to a man as far as, you know, touch me here, touch me there, do this, this is what I... He know what he had last time and what she liked. He don't know what you like.
Now, it's interesting you should say that. Now, for those women who don't know, my beautiful sister, daughter, goddess here is talking about self-pleasuring, just in case you're not aware.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise known as masturbation, but we don't want to use that word, it's too hard. It's a meditation that you do. That began, for all that don't know, it began in the womb as a fetus. Okay, where you self-pleasured yourself and put yourself to sleep while you were in mommy's tummy. So there's nothing wrong with it. You're not going to go blind. You're not going to go crazy. Okay?
Well, I have a correction. You might temporarily go blind or what you think is blind. But that's just like an out-of-body experience if you do it right. I'm sorry.
But you're not going to lose your eyesight forever.
you can see perfectly fine once you get your bearings straight.
Yeah, I know my phone is getting ready to go. She's going to...
I think she went.
Yep.
Yeah, I think Mama Diva's phone. Oh, my God.
She said you're not going to go blind.
You're not going to go blind.
I had to offer that correction right there. I'm like, you might temporarily go blind.
And you'll feel all so much better.
You know, all the stress of the day will be released miraculously.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, and the thing about it is we've been taught not to do that.
Yep.
And when we go back to sex, it just seems as though we, you know, sex has been taken to such a hedonistic place.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Where the sacredness of it is, I mean, it's so decadent. You know what I'm saying? I was looking at some videos today at work, you know, because at work I, you know, be clicking on and, you know, working and looking. And his brother has some African dancers, you know, some dancers on his website. And, you know, I was looking at the provocative way that these African dancers were. And I'm just really curious about, you know, what do they mean? You know what I'm saying? Because I know Africans never created or did anything in their origin. And I'm wondering about the origin as well, because I'm wondering, you know, the meaning of the dance. What is not just a sexual dance, even though
right.
The body is being, you know, moved and contorted in a way. Now, in our sick minds in the West, we look at it from a sexual standpoint because we're looking at body parts and how the body is moving, and so our Western minds have associated that with copulation, you know what I'm
right.
saying? So that's basically what we've been in tune to doing today is copulating, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not the art of making God. That's I don't even like to use the word making love because I don't know if, and I'm just bouncing this thought around. I don't know if you can make that. You know what I'm saying? I think that's something that is. So
yeah,
you know,
we are love. But when we tap
right.
into that, you're able to share that essence of what you are, which is love, with someone else. So you're
right.
recreating love.
Right. And so what they've done is take sex and switched it with love, and so now when you're copulating, they're calling it making love when that's not what you're doing.
That's not what it is.
Right, you're populating.
What you're doing is you're allowing someone to put their, I'm just going to use lingam and yoni for the sake of this conversation. A lingam is the penis, and a yoni is the woman's vagina, for those who are not aware.
Right.
What you're doing when you're copulating is not making love. You're inserting your lingam into her yoni and repeating the process several times until you produce something and she produces something.
Right. Basically.
And those juices that the two of you create, that's sacred too. But we'll get to that on another conversation.
Right.
If you want some information regarding that, you can go back into my archives and pull up a show with Reverend Goddess Charmaine, where she speaks about Tantra, or Tantra, some refer to it as, and you can tune in Sunday to listen to Diva Mama Newt, where she's going to be talking about orgasmic alchemy.
But you know what, though, Sister Tara, it just amuses, though, to me that so much emphasis is put on, is the emphasis that is put on it makes it, takes the sacredness out of it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that focus on that and that only, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just, I don't know, to me it's so private and personal. You know what I'm saying? What me and my God decide to, you know, we decide to come together to be one, because that's basically what you're doing.
Right,
is when
right.
you come together to be one, it seems as though today it's just so, it's so public, and that's such a private, that's such a spiritual moment that, you know, I just don't think should be in the way that it is. You know, so exploit it. You know,
what you're speaking to is the same thing that I used to hate people say, which is when they're talking about music or shoes or whatever, they would say sex sales.
It's
so out there, because what's sexy is what's in. You know, if a woman looks provocative and sexy on a box of socks, the socks are going to sell more because she's, you know, she's sexy or he's sexy. And most of the time, ironically, and isn't this ironic, most of the time when they're speaking about something being sexy, it always revolves around the woman.
Yes, absolutely.
And don't talk about the videos, even though I don't care how they try to portray a woman, especially on BET of all places, but they create videos because they know men will look at more videos with the more ass they see, and they equate the body of a black goddess with sensual, because that is what we are. But they put it out in this kind of sort of bestiality type of way. And what I mean by that is, it's like all they want people to think about is sex. Sex and then wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. I'm going to have sex with you so I can get a nut, so to speak.
See, it's the uncontrolled lust.
Right.
Lust is for quote unquote, using a, for a lack of a better term, is sin. I can't think of another word for it. Because you have, I think, that being able to control that for the proper time is what we've lost. You know what I'm saying? Because that's something that, like I said, it's just a very sacred act to me. And to see it displayed constantly takes away from it and puts it into the realm of decadence in a way. It looks nasty in a way. You know what I'm saying? Because the sacredness of it, the purity of it has been spoiled, you know, to the point where a woman's breast and her ass is the only essence of her that makes her a female or feminine. That's all to her. If she got to be bam, bam. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is what, you know, this is what, this is her attraction. This is, and a lot of people will say, well, you know, it's what the hell they put it like, it's 90% of what you see. Well, it's 90% of what they define you looking at. You see
right.
what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That's been defined to you to look at that causes these feelings to arouse in you. You've been programmed to look at a breast, which is basically for children, you know, to feed your children, to look at that as an object that would make your penis rise. You know what I'm saying? When if we look at Africa in itself and the regions where women walk around with their breasts bared, you don't see men walking around with hard-ons all day.
No, you don't.
You know what I'm saying? Right.
The body is a natural thing that, you know, I'm going to say this and you know, whatever. When you look at indigenous cultures, almost every indigenous culture walk around naked with barely covering anything. If they did cover something, it was their genital area, and that was it, and it was just the front.
Right. And there's a reason why that's covered.
And we did not, in general, put clothes on until we started to encounter Europeans, where Europeans wanted us to cover up.
Right.
And in most cases, again, it was the European men that wanted our people to be covered. Indigenous cultures everywhere. Everywhere they encounter people, you know, that was that. That was the scenario. You know,
right. And
learn
like
how
I was
to separate.
Saying,
Go ahead.
And like I was saying, the genital areas were covered for a reason. Because that is the sacred space. That
right.
is the sacred spot on the male and the female. That's why it's covered. While all the rest of the body is exposed, that area is always covered. There's a reason for that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the asses is out, breasts is out, but the genital area is covered because that's a sacred space. That's a sacred place on the man and the woman. So, you know, when the now where this European gets, and I guess the Greeks, you know, admired the body for whatever reason, and they used, you know, I don't understand how this attraction to breast and ass even came up. I'm trying to figure that one out. You know, where did that attraction ever came up?
Well, it had to come up from people who came in that weren't used to seeing people walking around naked.
I mean, but where did they get it from? I mean, what culture did they come from that looked at an ass and say, ooh, yum, yum? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I mean,
most people who are of African descent have different shapes than
mm-hmm.
other women. And I'm thinking when people came into, you know, our cultures admired the shape and the thickness of black women. And so the first thing they can think of is, you know, I like them curves, and the curves can be hips, breasts, butt, and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they focused on. Oh, wow.
Wow.
We talked about a whole lot tonight, but the thing
yes,
I want everybody
indeed.
To understand is taking it back to the topic here. Time out for ourselves. We need to make time for ourselves no matter how busy our schedule is. You should never be too busy to take time out for yourself. Never be too busy for that. And the times that we're in right now, everyone needs to be to start going within, looking for answers to the questions they have instead of seeking, always going to other people. I'm not saying don't talk to elders and other people around you to discuss things. I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is start to trust yourself and go within to seek guidance on decisions that you make and you know, changes that you're, you know, different risks you're going to take. You need to learn how to trust yourself with
right.
those type of things. So
right, absolutely.
We're going to go ahead and end the show out. Thank everyone
okay.
for listening, whether it's live or archived. Thank you, Queen, for stopping by to have this discussion with me.
Always, sis. It's always. Okay.
I appreciate you very much. And I am going to end the show out with this dedication to the brothers, for the brothers who may be listening. Erykah Badu song. I think it's Erykah Badu and one of the Molly brothers. But anyway, it's I'm in love with you because I'm in love.
Oh, yeah, I like that song too. Yes,
oh,
yes.
Here we go.
Okay.
I'm in love with you. Yes, I'm in love.